The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take. We tip things off with the latest in the NBA. According to The Athletic, Kyrie Irving believes he's fighting for something bigger than basketball. And the unintended consequences are that his mission is conflicting with his career and the franchise, the Brooklyn Nets. GM Sean Marks said Kyrie Irving's decision to not comply with New York City's COVID-19 vaccine mandate left the organization no choice but to send him away from the team until he's able to fully participate. The Nets' stance ended the idea that Irving would play in only road games. Mark said the organization respects Irving's choice and his right to make that choice. Take a listen.
Kyrie's made it clear that he has a choice in this matter. And it's ultimately going to be up to him what he decides. You know, we respect the fact that he has a choice and he can make his own right to choose. We all know what our objective is this year and how this a decision like this may be able to affect that ultimate objective. So they're never easy decisions. But at the end of the day, I think we're looking at putting a group of people out there that are going to be able to participate fully. And that's where this comes down to.
Okay, so let's dive into this. According to The Athletic, Kyrie is not anti-vaccine, and that his stance is that he's upset that people are losing their jobs due to vaccine mandates is a stance that Irving has explained to close teammates. To him, this is about a grander fight than the one on the court, and Irving is challenging a perceived control of society and people's livelihood. According to sources with knowledge of Irving's mindset, it's a decision that he believes he's capable to make given his current life dynamics. Kyrie wants to be a voice for the voiceless. Kyrie himself has chosen so far to not speak publicly, though, about his views. If this story is true, Stephen A., I'll start with you here. A lot to unpack. Marcus Spears also here with us, and Jay Williams. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here. We got a lot to get into, so we'll dive right into it here. Stephen A., should our position on Kyrie change?
Yes, it should change in regards to Kyrie. It should be even worse than we originally imagined. You know, I have to be, and I try to be, incredibly careful, fellas, in terms of I try to focus on what you do, not who you are. People make mistakes. None of us are flawless. All of us have made mistakes. We'll continue to make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We get all of that. But I've been covering the NBA now for almost 25 years. I mean, this is some of the stupidest nonsense I've ever seen. Just flat out stupid. So let me get this straight. So if the reports are true, because we don't know whether they are or not, okay? But let's give credit to Sham and others who have reported this. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Let's go with that, okay? If it is true, Jay, if it is true, Marcus, so you don't have a problem with taking the vaccine? Your position is that you're going to sit up there and compromise the championship aspirations of an organization you signed on to represent. You coaxed Kevin Durant into signing on to represent. You played a role in coaxing James Harden into signing on to represent. You're going to compromise all of that because you want to give a voice to the voiceless. Really? And how is that going to work out for you, Kyrie Irving? You're going to disappear from the game of basketball? Who the hell is going to be interested in what you have to say when you have proven that you can't even be trusted enough to do your damn job? A job you volunteered for. This ain't the military where you were drafted. You chose to play basketball. You chose to enter the NBA. You chose to sign that contract as a free agent to go to the Brooklyn Nets. You chose Brooklyn as your destination. You chose the Nets franchise to represent. You asked KD and James Harden to come on board with you in Brooklyn to establish your own legacy. And then you leave them hanging. Because of what exactly? your own individual principle. I am not calling Kyrie Irving stupid. Kyrie Irving, I happen to believe, is an intelligent brother whose heart is in the right place. But now you've regressed to an alarming level of self-righteousness. It not only makes you look hypocritical and untrustworthy, it makes you look what I know you are not, which is flat out stupid. It's the stupidest thing that I think I've encountered with NBA players. Like, you're going to sit up there and not play and not take a vaccine that evidently it's not you. You don't have a problem with it, according to the reports. You just want to give a voice to the voiceless? Really? You know what? I'm going to stop myself,
Let me say something about
Jay,
hypocrisy.
I'm not going to say anything else right now. I'm scared. I'm actually scared for the rest of the show. Okay. And it wasn't what I might say.
All right.
Go ahead.
Jay, before I come to you, because I know you have information on the subject, I just want to say, when you bring up the issue hypocrisy, I think there's two issues that stand out to me. One, he wants to be a voice for the voiceless, but we haven't heard from him. So if you want to stand up, you have to speak out on these issues so we understand. We can't just, you know, hear a story and we're not even sure whether it's true or not. And the other piece is that he's upset about people losing their jobs. But what about all the people that lost their lives during this pandemic?
God, no.
That's another piece of hypocrisy. So those are the two issues I struggle with. I love a philanthropic heart, but it just doesn't seem to be consistent here, Jay.
Yeah. SA, I want to go back and dig into something that you said, an imperative word you mentioned earlier, that was legacy. And a lot of times as a player, you sit around in Swagoo, you know this, you think about throughout some juncture in your career, what is the legacy for me going to be? How am I going to be remembered? Because for me, I remember Kyrie Irving having a legacy shot when he made a clutch three-point shot to beat the Golden State Warriors in the 2016 NBA Finals to deliver Cleveland their first world championship. And as I sit here today, October 13th, 2021, I'm seeing that legacy turn into he's going to be remembered for the shot that he didn't take. And I would really hope that Kyrie, as much as he wants to fight for people that are being mandated by companies to take the vaccine, how he decides to continue to elevate his voice, if that's what he believes in, if the report is true and that's what he believes in, he needs to continue to utilize the platform of the NBA to raise his voice, to continue to talk about that. Because he needs to spend more time thinking about what is the legacy of Kyrie Irving going to be? The shot that I made back in 2016 or the shot that I never took that if I decide not to take will end my career and end my platform and not allow me to have the opportunity to continue to be that voice for the voiceless.
So, see, this is why sometimes you need more time to talk about these subjects because it's very nuanced. But what I will say is this, and listening to Stephen A. and UJ Will, the voice for the voiceless, right? We sitting here as three black men, and when I hear voice for the voiceless, I think about things that are being imposed on people that relates to underserving, relates to discrimination, relates to work environments that don't allow you to fully reach your potential. COVID ain't racist. COVID ain't nothing that somebody said, hey, you need to stop getting people sick and ill and causing them to die from circumstances of having to deal with COVID-19. So I don't necessarily understand who are you speaking for when you say that these vaccine mandates, you're raising a voice for the voiceless. I don't understand that. Like when I think about a voice for the voiceless, I think about all of the issues that we've talked about, not only in the NBA. Stephen A., you've talked about black coaches in the NBA. You've talked about black people in leadership. We got this ongoing discussion about how the diversity and inclusion needs to be a real thing instead of being on pamphlets and things just being said and structure in the NFL. I just don't understand this one. This one bothers me, and I'm with you, Molly, on something you said. Like COVID not worried about Kyrie if he voiceless or has a voice. Like, I tell y'all again, I had an aunt that spent 3 months in the hospital, touch and go for 2 months. This is not anything I heard about or read about. This is something that I absolutely saw. Not only drain on her, drain on her children, drain on my mother, who is a sister, and the family. And not one time did I think that if somebody was to mandate this vaccine, that it would have to be a situation where you had to have an athlete stand up and say, I want to represent the people that don't want to take a vaccine that are losing their positions. Man, these companies don't care about that. Like, what? Who are you being a voice for? If you're being a voice for people that are not choosing to take a vaccine, that work for companies that are saying we want a vaccine mandate, that's the bottom line. That is their right. We work for ESPN. We work for Disney. We have a vaccine mandate at this company. And it is simple as this. If you don't want to take it, you will no longer have a job. Those are the consequences. Those are the things that you have to deal with, and you have to make a personal decision.
Well,
yes, it's consequences if you choose not to. That's the bottom line. So the voice for the voiceless, and oh, by the way, okay, you got a lot of people in this country that had to take the vaccine that didn't want to take two so they could continue on with their livelihood and taking care of their family. They put that at the forefront of not deciding to take a vaccine. Kyrie is worth over $200 million. Hey, people out there that's not taking these vaccines, you stand on what you stand on. But the bottom line is you ain't in the same position Kyrie Irving is
well,
in.
Facts here's on the that. Deal. It's a couple of things. Number one, to throw this out there, New York and California, mainly San Francisco and Los Angeles is the two cities, and along with New York City, are the only ones with the mandate at this particular moment in time. I do not believe that will last. I ultimately think that that is something that would spread, no pun intended, and as a result, you'll see restrictions and mandates being handed down across NBA cities throughout this country. That's what I believe, personally, even though some people would ask why those are only three cities with the mandate at this particular moment in time. That's something we could get into another day. You also have some people out there that are talking about how Kyrie Irving will have a huge lawsuit, you know, and he'll win or whatever. Shut the hell up. Ain't nobody trying to hear that either, okay? Here's the bottom line. What you went to last, Marcus, when you talked about Kyrie Irving has earned over $200 million in his career, probably more. Here's the reality. That's really why you're taking this position. You see, this is the kind of stuff that annoys me. And I remember I've said this on numerous occasions when people were talking about, you know, you got players that come into the league and they talk about keeping it real, being authentic and all of this other stuff. And I remember when one player I brought up how he rolled up in the draft. And you rolled up in the draft and you had on suits and your hair was cut just nice and you were looking sharp as hell and the whole stuff. Why? Because you were trying to get your money. Then once you got your money, now you want to tell everybody about being real and potentially compromising their bottom line because you no longer have to be concerned about yours. See, that's where the selfishness comes in here. The selfishness also comes in here when you're talking about leaving your teammates hanging. And all I'm saying is at the end of the day, when you talk about a voice, listen, Kyrie spoke to the media, Jay. He said, it's a privacy matter. That's what he said. He had an opportunity to explain himself. He continues to get opportunities
so how is
to
that
explain
being
himself.
A voice?
But he's saying, excuse me, it's a privacy matter. Respect my privacy. So what voice is he talking about?
But see, can I ask you a quick question on this
sure.
one, my man?
Sure.
And
sure.
I'm pro vaccine. I've taken a vaccine. I'm double vaxxed.
So have I.
But you said that he's selfish. Doesn't he have the right to be selfish to do what he wants to do for Kyrie? He hasn't said anything. He hasn't came out and said that other people should
I'm
not. He hasn't
question.
Said anything at all.
I'm answering your question. Of course he has the right. That's the part that annoys me. When people say he has a right, you act like us criticizing him is us saying he doesn't have the right. He does have the right.
Absolutely.
But he also has the right to be called out for it. Just like somebody has the right to be real. Well, guess what? There's various levels of real. You can be real stupid. You can be real dumb. You can be real selfish. You can be real hypocritical. There's a whole bunch of levels of realness out there in the real world. Nobody is questioning Kyrie's right to take the position that he's taken. What I'm talking about as a person that loves the game, that loves
the game of basketball that's looking forward to the Brooklyn Nets trying to win a championship. I can't believe that you're sitting here, and then he brings up research and all of this other stuff. Well, damn it, it's more than 19 months that this pandemic has been going on. How much research do you need? We've heard players bringing up research and how they're going to talk to their teammates as if their teammate is an epidemiologist or somebody. There's certain things that are just ridiculous, and that needs to be said.
What's ridiculous is that we're talking about people losing their jobs, and there's people that lost their lives.
Yeah.
That's the part that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, guys, I can speak to that. My grandmother was perfectly healthy, got COVID, and I was in there in the hospital when she couldn't breathe and she couldn't speak, and it's a nightmare. So that I don't know how we're not touching on that issue in terms of him standing up for people.
I'm with you guys on all this. I've lost a family member. I've had COVID twice. I get it. I just want to be careful when we start going down this road that we're going to act like Kyrie Irving being vaccinated or not being vaccinated is going to change the minds of millions of people. Like, we start going down this road where we start. But I'm just telling you how it feels from people, Stephen A. When you start calling people stupid or you start calling people saying that they're selfish and these things start going all over the internet, that creates a different narrative. And people start fighting back against that narrative. I'm just telling you how it is on the other side, Stephen A. I know you have your thoughts on how you see things.
What's the other side? What's the other side? The point is we're sitting here
being vaccinated, man. I'm just trying to tell you.
I didn't say you weren't. You're the one that took it there, Jay. We're talking about a basketball.
There, yes.
We're talking about a basketball player who signed on to play for the Brooklyn Nets that has left his team hanging.
Yes,
that's
because
what we're talking about.
Personal decision. He's choosing to do that for him. And when you go through an unprecedented time in the history of this country,
you have your own
individual right to make your own decision about what you want to do for you and your family.
So, in other words, I respect that right.
I'm not saying I agree with that right.
All right, then. You respect the right. I'm saying to you, no.
Okay.
If you signed on to do a job, okay, and that's what comes with it. Now, I can get deeper and bring up the fact that the president of the healthcare system, virtual healthcare system in South Jersey, was the one that personally took me to the ICU. And I didn't
I'm not
see
disagreeing
anything
with that, though, Stephen A.
I didn't say you
but
were.
You act like we've had 100% vaccination rate in this country since the beginning of all illnesses have occurred.
You know what, Jay? You sound full of it, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I'm not full of it.
We're not talking about that.
All right, guys, we're talking about that.
You're taking it somewhere I wasn't going. We could do that now. Any day you want, we could do that. But what I'm saying is, we're talking about Kyrie Irving not showing up for the Brooklyn Nets after he got guys to show up for the Brooklyn Nets. And here you go bringing up all of that other stuff. We can do that. But I wasn't trying to do that. That's where I'm calling him selfish. You know, I'm questioning his right. He has the right to do it. He also has the right to go to hell away then. Retire then. Because you left your teammates hanging. That's my point.
Okay. Hold on, because I do want to tap in on something you said with the Kyrie situation. When it comes to him, okay, and I understand where you're coming from basketball and his responsibility to the guys that he's in the locker room with, but this is a new situation. I think that's what Jay is trying to tell you, that now you usher in the vaccine mandate, and I don't know Kyrie. I don't know him personally. I don't know why he's deciding to do this. I know being a voice for the voiceless don't make sense to me in this particular situation, but we can't deny the fact that the COVID-19 vaccine mandate has changed people's mind about how they want to go about their job and if they want to continue to do their job. I absolutely understand what you're saying about his responsibility to KD and James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets, but this information, obviously, about COVID has been out. And Kyrie has not decided to get vaccinated, which leads me to believe that he doesn't want to at this point. And also, it does cause a rift in the Brooklyn Nets locker room and what they have to do and how they go about getting ready and playing through a season. But we also have to acknowledge that the vaccine mandate has changed people's mind. It did for other players in the NBA. And I know you hold this in high regard, and you've covered this league for a long time. I just want to, listening to you and Jay go back and forward, to me the clarity is you're talking about basketball and Kyrie not being there, and which evolves into him not taking the vaccine and not being able to participate in the state of New York. But when you think about when you think about this thing in totality, a vaccine mandate is ushered a new conversation into the overall COVID conversation. And I think that's what Jay is dealing with, the life part of it, and you talking about the basketball. So both of you are not wrong. Y'all just coming from it from two different angles. And as you know, we sat on this and we talked about Kyrie a week ago. And I said, look, man, you got the right to do what you want to do, but the consequences are going to be there. And yeah, I feel bad for KD and James Harden not having Kyrie and trying to go after a championship. But there's a bigger scope of things happening with this mandate, and Kyrie is choosing to take this stance. Now, again, I don't know what the hell the stance is about, because I don't want somebody that's made over $200 million telling me that you need to be a voice for me, and I'm making $12 an hour just trying to keep my head above water to take care of my family. I'm going to probably go take the vaccine. So we ain't speaking the same language when it comes to that. But I think you and Jay just have two conflicting things that y'all talking about, and y'all trying to marry them, and it's not the same thing that y'all talking about.
All right, Marcus, I appreciate that. Jay, do you have any final words, anything you want to say here before we go to break?
No, I'm good.
And you're good?
This real life, though. This real life. This is what people are doing in real life.
And this is real conversation.
I'm talking about basketball.
Basketball, absolutely.
I'm talking about basketball. Jay's my man. I just felt Jay went to a place we weren't going. We started off the conversation because Kyrie, the report said Kyrie doesn't have a problem with the vaccine. He has a problem because he wants to give a voice to the voiceless. Yeah.
In defense of Kyrie, right or wrong, he's not trying to hurt people. He's trying to help people. And that is his intention. So we do respect that, even if we don't agree with it.
He's trying to help some people.
Okay.
Doesn't care if he hurt others.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. We have game two of the WNBA tonight, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on ESPN in the app with Candace Parker in the Sky, up 1-0 against Diana Taurasi and the Mercury. To the NFL, the Cowboys are humming 4-1. They've now beat the Chargers and the best defense in the NFL, the Panthers. Their only loss to the Bucs, and it was close. Amari Cooper and his squad have SoFi dreams in February. Amari saying this, when you're on a roll like this, you start thinking about the Super Bowl. That's just the reality of it. You just start to want it more and more the closer you get, and you start to worry about the little things more. Mark Scott joining the conversation. Swagoo, I want to start with you because obviously you are the former Cowboy on the show. Tell me this, sir. Should the Cowboys be thinking Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Oh, please.
Wow. Bro, listen, look, I understand this. I watched Bart last week say the Giants was going to beat the Cowboys, and he knew that was foolishness, and he understood what he was saying. But the bottom line is
don't
this.
Don't go there. That was the second team for the Giants. Didn't have their quarterback, so just relax with that.
Nobody on that damn defense got injured.
Spears. Let me, hold on. Hold on one second. I just want to say this to Molly. Molly.
What?
You know we love you. You know that. You know how dear, near, okay. dear you are to us.
Well, we love where you. Are we going?
Molly
this is a
Q.
setup.
We love you a lot,
this
Molly
is a
Q.
Setup.
We really do.
What?
But when you stand up for your team and get emotional about that, it forces us to think about UConn. Could you
okay,
just let him go
just
on?
Stop.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Marcus, you know
go
what ahead, it Marcus. Is. I don't just want to act. Don't act like that's just this big, great win.
Don't do that.
Because no one was out there. The quarterback wasn't out
Molly,
there.
Molly,
the running
stop.
Back, the receivers.
Molly, stop.
Okay, carry
stop.
On.
Don't do it to yourself. Stop.
If we going to do that, Lyle Collins was out and DeMarcus Lawrence was out. Two of the better players for the Dallas Cowboys, if we want to do that. But okay. I don't want to do
Dak
that.
Dak was there.
Should the question is, should the Cowboys be thinking about a Super Bowl? Absolutely. Why wouldn't they be? They 4-1. They playing well. They rated in the top on offense. They have defensive efficiency in the top 10. Like, I'm not completely sold on the Dallas Cowboys defense, but they turning the football over and they making timely plays. Like the Kansas City Chiefs did when they were on their Super Bowl run. They wasn't just stopping people all over the field. But when you look at them from an offensive standpoint, the way Dak is operating, they're running the football again. In the past years, we thought they were a Super Bowl team because they were having success on the ground. Y'all remember those days when we were talking about Zeke Elliott as a top three running back in the NFL? Why was that? Because the offensive line was good and moving people, and they were having success offensively. That's what we talked about. So we're going to sit here today and act like reality is not that the Cowboys are 4-1. And act like the reality is they didn't go to Tampa week one and go toe-to-toe. We're going to act like they didn't beat the Chargers, who I'm sure Bart has ahead of the Dallas Cowboys. But ultimately, when you have a conversation about should the Cowboys be thinking of a Super Bowl, why wouldn't they be along with the other 4-1 teams and the undefeated team in Arizona and the teams with players that they feel like they can win a Super Bowl with? I want to hear this. My response is gold. I want to hear the foolishness that's about to come out of these other two dudes' mouth.
All right, first of all, I agree with you. Like, okay, they beat the Giants, but they didn't beat a full Giants. That was a real game. And usually that's a game, a trap game, that the Dallas Cowboys find a way to lose. Okay, congratulations, they took a step. They have two running backs, which is what you need in the playoffs. You need to pack your running game and pack an opportunistic defense. They have that. But the problem is, man, they're celebrating and pumping their chest out. And this is just September going into October, man. This is going maybe to November. This is only five games. Listen, they have to understand that this is a battle of attrition. They have to stay healthy. And Amari Cooper shouldn't be vocalizing this. This is something that these are discussions that they should be having amongst themselves. When you put that out there.
What should he say, Bart? What should he say?
He should say, we're trying to win our division. That's the first step because they're getting ahead of their skis, and we've seen them do this before. And listen, I've been part of teams where Rex Ryan comes out and says, hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl, and it puts a target on your back. Listen, let sleeping bears lie. Right? And listen, they should be happy where they are, but they should understand that, listen, it's a long season. A lot can happen. And Amari Cooper should be the last one saying it because he's the one that really can't stay healthy. So it's important that they stay healthy. They have a great team. I understand that. But I'm still not picking them to win the Super Bowl. They need to take baby steps, right? This is a team that needs to learn how to continue to get better and a team that needs to continue to take strides forward because the teams that they're playing and the teams that they're going to be playing in the future aren't playoff caliber teams.
Mm. First of all, a couple of things. I have to mind my manners, Marcus, with Molly Q, as you call her, because Mr. Good Morning America himself, you know, the sack master, the one and only Michael Strahan is.
Yes,
you
leave
Mark Gasson alone. Michael Strahan.
Knows what it is.
You leave Molly alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get sacked. I don't want to get sacked. Okay, I don't want to get sacked. Lord knows I don't want to get sacked by
Prescott.
That
was out
okay,
there, not no, Mike Glennon.
No. All right, Michael Strahan, I stand down. Miss UConn, I would suggest you watch it, Miss
okay,
UConn.
Okay, or Miss Loyalty.
Stephen, hey, let me say something.
Okay,
let
not
me
bandwagon.
Say,
yeah.
Let
yeah.
me say something really, really quick.
Yes.
Because I hear Molly and Bart talking about this. Where was this same grace last year when Dallas' whole team was injured?
Right.
I didn't hear y'all saying okay. that.
Well, let me
what y'all saying
that.
About the Giants right now? I didn't hear y'all
on,
say
on,
this
hold on,
last year
don't,
about the Cowboys.
With another sermon, okay? Here's the deal, y'all. I just want to say this to you, Pastor Spears. I want to say this to you. Congratulations, Mosca. Let's stand him and give Marcus Spears a round of applause, okay? Why? Because you beat Jalen Hurts, okay? All right, I got that. You beat Jalen Hurts. And then after that, you beat Sam Darnold without Christian McCaffrey, okay? And then last week, you just finished playing against the Giants second team. I mean, my God, I got to say, where's my blue and white pom-poms? You understand? Where are they, okay? Give me a break. They're still 25th.
You just said what you said. I better not see these damn Chargers in that top five then.
Excuse me.
I better not see them.
Don't tell me what you
failed to mention them. You failed to mention that win.
That was the first two. That's the first two games of the season. But don't worry about it. Let me get to my point. Okay.
Go ahead.
You're 25th in yards allowed. You're second worst against the pass in the National Football League, all right? So what I'm trying to say is that you give a little. Why are we raving about the Cowboys? I'll tell you why we're raving about the Cowboys. There's nothing to talk about with their offense. It's something special.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott's averaging over 5 yards a carry. He looks resurrected, particularly since I called him out because Pollard was looking like a better running back than him. Mm. Pollard still averages 6 yards a carry. This is the secondary piece, all right? So it's that, all right? We know what Cooper, obviously, and CeeDee Lamb could do. Wilson and Schultz have been contributing as well. Gallup ain't even been in a lineup. Wait until he gets back. So that's just a multitude of weapons that they have available with Dak playing lights out. Offensively, there's nothing to complain about. Nothing to say, no shade to throw on the Dallas Cowboys. Defensively, you know what this really is? Of course, we like Micah Parsons. Trevon Diggs is my defensive player of the year thus far. He's been sensational. But you know why we're really raving about the Dallas Cowboys defense, Marcus Spears? Because they stunk last year. They were so god-awful because they got Mike Nolan out of the scrap heap. Last time we saw him, he was a defensive coordinator for one of the worst defenses in the league in Atlanta in 2014. Nobody's thinking about hiring this man as their defensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy gets the job in Dallas and says, you know what, he's learned from his mistakes. He's learned from looking archaic when he was in Green Bay. And what's the first thing he does? He hires that guy, okay? So he lucked up. Because with COVID last year and all the restrictions with the NFL and all the different circumstances and what have you, we said, all right, we're going to let that go. They got rid of Nolan. They brought in Quinn from Atlanta, the former head coach of the Falcons. He sort of resurrected that defense. He's got them looking relatively decent. That's what this is about. It's about the fact that people are getting caught up in thinking this defense is legit. This defense is real. When it's been damn near a month since they went against a real established, bona fide, experienced veteran of a quarterback. And wait till that happens as the season progresses. They got a reprieve. Their schedule is relatively soft the rest of the way for the next 6-7 weeks. But then after that, stuff is going to heat up, and we're going to find out what they're made of. So you can talk all of that junk you want, Pastor Spears, with your sermons. At the end of the day, all of these expectations that have been thrown in, you know where I'm going.
The Cowboys.
You're setting them up. They're going to fall so
it's
hard.
It's levels, Marcus. And, you know it's levels.
Marcus, I will remind everybody else, you FaceTime me. Let me tell you, Bart Scott, what Marcus Spears did. So they're going against Tampa Bay. Opening night, Thursday night football, right, to open the season. Do you know this fool, Marcus Spears, actually FaceTimed me with 1:24 left and Tom Brady was still getting the ball? He was so anxious, he couldn't even wait the minute and 24 to expire. Yeah. He FaceTimed me before. And what did he end up doing the next day? See what I'm saying? They set themselves up all the time.
And you ain't
even a blind squirrel finds a nut, Marcus.
That's
you
right.
understand that?
You FaceTime me a lot.
It's levels to this. It's levels
to this. You FaceTime me a lot last year. I ain't got FaceTime yet again.
Eventually, Marcus, they're going to have to play the varsity. And you want to talk about the Chargers game. The Chargers were screwed in that game with that referee saying that was a sack. We know that. Ooh. We know that Justin Herbert.
Barry, you sound like a fan right now.
No,
you don't sound
I've been
like an analyst.
Before.
You sound
no,
like a fan.
No. I sound like a dude.
I
sound like a dude that went to 3 AFC championships.
Are you not watching this season?
What it takes.
Are we talking about this season or are we talking about your premise about the Dallas Cowboys? Or are we talking about this season?
Hold on, Marcus. You just accused Bart Scott of being a fan?
Yeah, you sound like a fan.
You of all people,
you as
the
well.
Way you talk about the Cowboys, you got the nerve to call somebody else a fan? What hypocrisy.
Let's have a credibility check. Let's have a credibility check,
okay,
first of all. The credibility check comes from before the season started, I said the Cowboys were going to win the division. I said that. Before the season started, I said the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to play each other in the Super Bowl. Let's have a credibility check. Now, the Cowboys sitting here at 4-1 after 5 weeks of the season, and the question is, should the Cowboys be thinking Super Bowl? Based on what we've watched transpire up until this point in the NFL season, why wouldn't they be thinking about that?
They got the nerve to be thinking about it. They should be thinking about playoff. How about winning a playoff game? That's what they should be thinking about. The other teams haven't been in that for a quarter century the way the Cowboys have.
You can check what I said about the people in the beginning. I said Matthew Stafford would probably be the MVP. I said the Rams would be in the Super Bowl. So I got credibility on this set too.
I also picked the Cowboys to win the East.
All right.
To that point, Bart, do things not change?
A lot of Eagles happening right now.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, listen, Molly, let's do this. Let's just ignore that the Dallas Cowboys are a good team and they in the thick of things with all the other good teams in the NFL, and one team going to win the Super Bowl and 30 others going to be looking at the game, whoever that may be.
Absolutely.
And on this
absolutely.
Show.
But we're all, show, why is everyone so aggressive
and on,
today?
On this show, we're all aggressive. On this show, yep. Molly, yep. You don't get to have the last word. This ain't NFL
Live. You say
live.
What you
I
need
know.
To say.
I
the
do. Last word. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. After a disappointing 1-0 loss to Panama Sunday, the U.S. men's national team looks to bounce back tonight and get one step closer when they play a critical World Cup qualifier against Costa Rica in Columbus, Ohio. Our coverage begins at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific on ESPN2 and the app. One app, one tap. The Browns are now 3-2 after falling to the Chargers by 5 on Sunday and losing to the Chiefs week 1 by 3 points. Cleveland is currently third in the AFC North. Baker Mayfield, 22-32 for 305 yards and 2 TDs against LA Sunday. Here's Stephen A. on Baker earlier this week.
It's real. You ain't talking about no, you ain't winning no title with no Baker Mayfield. It's too many roadblocks. You look at the Cleveland Browns, it's because of Myles Garrett and that crew on defense and because of what they got going on in the backfield that makes you say they're going to be just fine. When you think about the Cleveland Browns, you think about everything but the quarterback. Anytime that's the case, it ain't going to give you a Super Bowl, bro.
Well, this happened on the gram. Baker highlighting SA's quotes. You can see right there. Here's the real. You ain't winning no title with Baker Mayfield as your quarterback. So Baker clearly taking notice of that. Stephen A., I'll pick it up with you. Can the Browns win the title with Baker Mayfield? Do you stand by what you said?
Yes. I didn't stutter. I reminded the world last night. I still feel that way. You know, listen, let me be very, very clear because I want to make sure everybody understands something. I lamented Baker Mayfield when he had more progressive commercials than wins. That's no longer the case.
Yep.
This brother has accepted that leadership role. He is not a scrub.
I admire and respect him and how far he's gotten in his life and his career, considering some of the troubles that he had when he was younger. This dude is something special, and I get all of that. What I'm trying to say, Marcus, is that we so much time we spend on focusing on the individual, and we don't spend enough time focusing on the level of competition they're going up against. Did you see the show that Lamar Jackson put on Monday night? Did you see the show that Josh Allen put on Sunday night? Did you see the show that Justin Herbert put on Sunday afternoon? Do you know anything about Patrick Mahomes? I'm like, I'm giving you four. I didn't mention, Tennessee and how they've come on as of late. Talk about five different teams you're going to have to contend with. And I'm saying, when you look at Cleveland as a team, I love their GM, a brother, by the way. It's beautiful to see that, Mr. Berry being in that position, an African-American being able to run a franchise, very proud of what he has done. Kevin Stefanski, the son of a dear friend of mine, Ed Stefanski, who I've known for many, many years, a wonderful human being. And Kevin Stefanski, I think, is a wonderful coach doing a hell of a job. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt can run that football. That's why they got one of the top two rushing attacks in football. Let's be clear about that. Their defense led by Myles Garrett and those boys, number two against the rush. I get all of that. My issue is, when it comes time, if you find yourself in a situation where your quarterback has to deliver the goods, I see at least four options that I would pick in the AFC alone ahead of Baker Mayfield. And these are individuals he, in all likelihood, will have to encounter to get the Browns to a Super Bowl. And that's where I have my question mark. He is the question mark for the Cleveland Browns. Not because he's a scrub, because he's not. Not because he can't play, because he can't. It's because of them standing in his way. That's where I stand.
Marcus, where are you on this?
I think he can win a title, and two things can be true. I understand what Stephen A. is saying about that, and it's something that I've said. At some point, he's going to have to stare down the quarterback on the other side and outperform him in the last-minute drive. And right now, Baker in this season is 0-2. But the question is, can the Browns win a title with Baker Mayfield? Yes, they absolutely can. Now, it's going to take some things from the guys around him and him being insulated a little bit, and he's going to have to make a few plays. But when I watched that Charger game, I watched the defense give up 47 points. Like, and I get it. I get it that Baker had a minute and five left, and I think I absolutely believe that in those moments, he needs to deliver. Last year, when Lamar came back from using the restroom or his cramps, Baker had actually led a game-winning TD drive, and the defense gave up what they gave up to Lamar Jackson. So as much as I will say that Baker Mayfield is going to have to stare down the quarterbacks that you mentioned, Stephen A., because you're absolutely right, it may come down to that particular situation, ball in his hand, in the game, got to make a play, got to get the ball downfield. I've seen him do it and answer last year. This year, 0-2. But to say they can't win a title, I lean on the things that you talked about, Stephen A. One, Kevin Stefanski got to throw the ball on third and nine, right? And that may be an indictment on Baker Mayfield. But ultimately, if this is your guy, you got to throw the ball to try to not get a ball back to the Chargers. And second of all, when I think about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb and this offensive line and the way that they're constructed offensively, this team can be devastating in a playoff run and allow Baker not to have to be the focal point based on what they want to do as a whole. So, yeah, I believe they can win a title with Baker Mayfield. But it's more about him costing them as opposed to him having to step to the forefront and be the main reason.
Okay, I want to focus in on something else. That would be Odell Beckham Jr., and I'll start with you, Stephen A. He has 9 catches on the season, no TDs. Obviously, he wasn't there the first few games. Does Odell need to be traded? Is this just not the right fit for him?
I don't think that the Browns need to trade Odell Beckham Jr. I think Odell Beckham Jr. needs to beg to be traded.
Why?
It's not a good situation for him as an individual. It's great for the team to have him because
When healthy, he's an ultimate weapon. Mm-hmm. He elevates your vertical game. He opens things up for other dudes in Njoku and those boys that are going to be around, particularly if and when Jarvis Landry comes back. But the bottom line is this. That's the question mark as it pertains to Odell Beckham Jr. The Cleveland Browns don't need to move him, but Odell Beckham Jr., I'm not going to lie, I think he needs a better quarterback. And what I mean by a better quarterback, I'm talking about somebody who can really stretch that vertical game. Baker Mayfield can make throws, but he doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. Odell Beckham Jr. needs to be with somebody like a Justin Herbert. He needs to be with somebody. And I'm not talking about just talent. Please don't get me wrong, because I'll mention Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. the Dak Prescotts, the Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking quarterbacks with arms, Marcus. That's what I'm talking about, where it's nothing for you to fling that football deep all the time. That's why DeSean Jackson in L.A. is such a big deal, because you got Matthew Stafford that can throw the ball deep. This is what Odell Beckham Jr., this is the kind of situation he needs to be in. You don't want Odell Beckham Jr., who's got some fragility issues because he's been hurt in the past. You don't want him, Marcus, slant patterns going over the middle all the time. He's just not built for that. You see what I'm saying? He can do it, but he ain't built for it. You need him to stretch that vertical game, and you need him with a quarterback who can do it. That's not Baker Mayfield. That doesn't mean he's not a gifted quarterback. That's just not who he is. And they know it, and that's not going to facilitate any kind of success for Odell Beckham Jr. That's why I think he needs to beg to be taken out of Cleveland for his own career salvation.
Stephen A., you were right in this regard. Now, I got to say, Baker
I
has
think your mic fell. You got me now.
Let me clarify that. Baker has an arm, but the guys you compared him to, it's not the same. So I understand where you're coming from. He has a strong enough arm. He can push the ball down the field. That's not the issue. And I don't think they should trade Odell Beckham Jr. because what we talked about earlier, when they get to that point in these games that they plan on being in, trying to contend for a Super Bowl, he's going to have to be a vital part to what they're trying to do. And remember, Jarvis Landry is out as well. And Njoku came up big last game. The tight end, Baker, found him over the middle. But here's the deal with this particular situation. And I went back and forth on this because I know we're supposed to fight, but I went back and forth on this. OBJ is a feature wide receiver. And I think that's what you're saying, S.A. But I think in this day and age in the NFL, you got to have more than one. You got to have guys that can absolutely get downfield. And we got to get out of our mind the Odell Beckham Jr. from the New York Giants making all of these plays. Not saying that he can't make them. He's not in that system anymore. He's not being asked to do what he's been doing, what he's done early in his career. So the bottom line is this. The Browns should not trade Odell Beckham Jr. because I really believe they're going to need him if they're going to try to go to a Super Bowl. It's about finding his place on a team that's run-centric and offensive line-driven.